morning. It's good to be in front of y'all again.
Grab some water real quick.
It's good to be here again. It's good to see all of y'all. Some of you I haven't seen in a good while. Some of you I might not have seen before. And just thankful that y'all had a like mind to come this morning. We all came to come and worship the Lord, hear the word preached. Thank you for the prayer, the wonderful prayer that's been lifted up to the Lord before us, the singing. And now we've come to hear the word preached. And I just pray that the Lord will be with me to help me. As I stand before y'all, y'all please pray for me. And as I try to deliver what the Lord has laid on me this morning, and pray that it would be of some benefit to us, that we would stir our minds up. And, you know, one thing that sometimes I don't know if we pay that much attention to, but we come and we hear the word, and then when we leave, does it stick with us? You know, because sometimes I'm guilty. You get out of here, and then you get down the road, and then bam, it's gone. It's like it's gone. You know, and that's me. That's my depraved, my state from that nature that we got from Adam, that we have. And I'm just glad to have that put in my heart this morning to come here and be with y'all, to be with the saints of God. You know, the Lord tells us that that's our reasonable service, is to come and to be with, to come and hear the word of the Lord, and to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. This morning, I'd like to read a few verses, Lord being my helper, and Lord willing, pray that He would be with us and, as I said, stir our mind up. I'd like to read a few verses this morning from the 13th chapter of Hebrews. I will start in the first verse. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bonds with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have spoken, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now that's some wonderful words right there I just read. I know it wasn't but eight verses, but there's a lot to be said in those eight verses. We know that any time that the Lord says something or it's recorded in the Holy Scriptures here, that it means something. It has weight. Now if it's mentioned more than one time, we know that that's surely He is making a point to, hey, I'm trying to really enforce this here. I'm trying to really, you know, get, are you really getting what I'm saying? And, you know, the first verse here of this chapter, which if we went back and had read the 12th chapter, and I encourage you if you hadn't read that in a while, go back and it'll surely be a blessing to you. But there's something that sometimes people forget in the world, and we as well. And I'll read that verse, and it's the 29th verse from the 12th chapter, and it says, for our God is a consuming fire. And we forget that. Because I hear a lot of times, and I'm sure y'all have, that you hear about this Jesus out in the world that loves everybody, that loves everything. And you know, I have a problem with that because that's contradictory to what the Scripture says. And that's an awful weak God, ain't it? That's an awful weak one. That's not the living God, the true and living God that I serve, try to serve, and that we are here to serve. That's not it. And I'm glad that the Lord has revealed that unto us and revealed it in our hearts through His revelation. But it says here, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. You know, I love all of y'all. And I have that love that was put there by God. Because it's not anything that I, from me, I can tell you. You know, and the Lord, you know, we are all children of, the children of God love the Lord. And He loves us. What does John say? He says, we love Him because He first loved us. And I want to say that that love that's put there was by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that He did. Because I've said this before and y'all heard it and y'all know, y'all brethren that have traveled a good little ways too. You know, you go 3 hours, 4 hours, sometimes five or six, and you might go to a church that you have never been to. There's people there you've never seen, but you love them when you walk in the door. Now, I can't explain that other than the love of God. Amen. When you try to tell somebody at work or wherever in the world that, hey, you know, me and my wife and little girl, we went and drove 4 hours or 5 hours or wherever to go to a church service and hear the word of the Lord. And I'm like, man, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? But, you know, they'll ride 6 hours to go to a sporting event or do other things or whatever, whatever is pleasing to the flesh. You know, we'll go a long way just to go waste time in a sense sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that we don't need time and a break from things. That yes, we do. But there's a fine line there. There's a fine line. But that brotherly love that should continue. You know, we should always remember to pray for our brother and our sister. We don't know what they're dealing with. We don't know what they're going through. And that's a part of the love. You know sometimes I don't do like I should in my praying and praying for all the brethren and sister. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes we're humans, you know. And one thing, one of the many things though, is I'm thankful to know that when the last day comes and I take my last breath, I know I won't have to worry about transgressing against God anymore. You know, I'll have that I'll be with Him. And I look forward to that, as we all should. Just one of many things, you know. it's recorded here in the second verse. It says, but not forget to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Now, I believe that we should be good hosts. You know, it's recorded in the 25th chapter in the end, latter part of Matthew about when Christ is talking there, and y'all are familiar with it. He has the separation there. You have the goats on the left and the sheep on the right. And then Christ goes through there and tells them, well, when I hungered, you didn't feed me. When I was athirst, you didn't give me nothing to drink. You know, and that's what I feel like He's saying there, that we should help one another. It also goes back, brother, to love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I'm guilty of this sometimes too. You see somebody out there looking like they need a meal or look like they need something to drink. Sure. And how oftentimes do we just go on by and don't give them anything? And that strikes me sometimes as to that part right there, what Christ is saying. Because regardless of whether we give that man something to eat, or say we give him $5 to go get something to eat, or $10, whatever it might be, to give him something to eat, and then he goes and spends the money on, say, maybe a bottle of beer. Well, that's not our decision. That's not our choice there. We tried to make the best effort to help them. And I encourage you, that's what we should do. As I said, I am guilty, because I don't do it like I should. You know, but that's something that turns in my mind about that we should take care of the brother. Right here in the second part of the verse, it says, some have entertained angels unawares. And we can go back, and I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, but we can go back and you can look and see that when Abraham, in the tent, we can go back and that account there. That's back in Genesis 18, I think. Somewhere back in there. I believe it's the 18th chapter. Don't hold me to it, but you'd have to go back and look and read there. But that's a very it's a very good portion of Scripture as well. And like I said, it's the things there that teach us. And excuse me. Remember them that are in bonds. You know, the Apostle Paul was in bonds quite often. And he wrote, when he wrote several letters, which we know he wrote a lot of letters to different churches, especially the one in Colossae and in Philippi, I believe it was a Philippian letter, where they had helped him so much in his bonds. You know, I'm glad to know that the Lord has taken the bond of sin and death away from us. Because we know that once we have been made new creatures, when He has revealed Himself unto us and put that love in our heart and shed it abroad, that we are no longer slaves to sin. We know that our sins are forgiven us. Now, we still fall short as we are in this earthly body, and we will continue until the last day, as I mentioned earlier. But that's no excuse for us just to give up. That's more of an excuse for us to strive and to be more like Christ. That's what He tells us to do. You know, it tells us in one part of the Scripture to mortify the sin. Mortify it. Put it to death. That's hard. But we must try. Because the Lord will grant us the grace to get through it. He gives us the grace to get through our tribulations, through our trials that we go through. At times we don't think that we will. But when we get through them and we look back and, you know, we're so thankful for what the Lord has done for us and how He delivers us. It says, remember them that are in bonds as bond with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And I want to say again here that, you know, as going back to how we should be able to help, we should help the folks in bonds. It says here, remember them that are in bonds as bond with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. And we are. Like I said, we're a bond, we're bound to certain things. And I'm glad that those chains have been cut, that have been broke loose, that now the Lord has given us life, spiritual life. He says here that marriage is honorable and all. And it is. We can go back to Genesis, and after the Lord had created man, created Adam, and then He created a helpmate for Adam. And we see that was one of the first institutions that God implemented, was the institution of marriage. And we know that God had it for one man and one woman. Contradictory to what the world says now and how they think, and it's all, they think that God's all right with it. But they surely have no idea of how much of a consuming fire our God is. You know, the Lord tells us a whole lot. He uses marriage quite often in the Scriptures. Just because He is the bridegroom, and we are the bride. The bride is the church. His elect that He chose out, that was given to Him before the foundation of the earth through His Father, from His Father to Him. He knew that He was going to have to go and bleed and die for them people, for His people. And He did. And He did it willingly. And He did it perfectly. And I am so thankful that He did, that it was on His merit, not my merit or your merit. As we know that marriage is an honorable thing. That's what the Lord instructs us to do. To find, and you know, I'm thankful that the Lord blessed me with my wife and put her in my life. I think back sometimes, and you know, she's asked me some stuff, you know, happened years ago and all, and you know, I'm just so thankful that she's in my life and I don't have to worry about trying to find the right woman and trying to do this, and you know, I'm glad. And I'm glad that His hand was in it. And I'm thankful and just pray that that the Lord is, you know, when I'm gonna back up here, when I remember before I got married, I was told that if I kept the Lord in the midst, we'd all be all right. True. And when we do, everything is fine. Because He takes care of us. You know, that's something that He implemented. He sent her, put me in her life, and put her in my life for a reason. What joy. Y'all know the little joy that He blessed us with little Esther. You know? It's nothing greater than that. It's a wonderful thing. And it says, and the bed undefiled, which we know what that means. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And we know this. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Boy, that's a big problem nowadays, ain't it? That's a lot of people's problems. Man, I just want that new truck, or I want this new house, and man, they got this and they got that. But you know, everything don't. What was the old saying? You don't read a book by, don't judge a book by its cover. Things might look all right on the outside, but on the inside, we don't even know what's going on. You know, we should be content with what the Lord has blessed us with. It don't matter if, as long as we've got a place to stay, food and raiment. And He gives us all of that. Everything that we have has been provided through Him. And we should remember not to be covetous. Not to have covetousness, excuse me. But you know, that's kind of hard sometimes for that old man that's in us. We have to fight that. You know, man, you know, my old truck just keeps breaking down, or my old house, or whatever the thing might be. We seem like, oh, well, it'll just be better if I had something else. if I just had this. And what's the old saying? The grass is always greener on the other side. Looks like, don't it? Sure. Never mind. I was going to add something to that, but I'm going to leave that off. But the Lord says here that we should be content. We should be very content with what we have. And, you know, if it has to be, or if it turns out that He blesses us with something else that is better, we know that to thank Him for it, because He's the one who provided for us. He's the one that gives us the health and the strength to get up in the morning and go to work and make a wage. To provide for the things, to provide for our families, provide for our wife, our kids. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now we quote that quite often. And it's so much truth. It's truth in every word in the Scripture. But that should be so reassuring to us to know that He will never leave us. You know, it's not like we have a God that is too busy to hear what we have to say. Or, you know, I think back of an instance back, y'all know the story of the 17th chapter of 1 Kings with Elijah. No, 18th chapter, I'm sorry. When he's calling down fire and it has the prophets of Baal. Well, maybe he's asleep. Maybe you need to holler louder. I'm thankful that we don't have that problem. Because we serve a true and living God. And He hears us. And we know that He is all at all places, all the time, omnipresent. And I'm thankful that He blessed us with these words that we could read over and over and over and over again. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And how much of a helper He is, because if I didn't have Him, I'd be in the dirt. I would be not in a very good place, and I'm thankful that He is my helper, that He saw it fit to reveal Himself unto me, that He would bless me to go forth. And I know now that He had put it upon me to come forth and preach His Word, try to preach His Word to His people. You know, He told Peter to feed His lambs and feed His sheep. And that's what we're tasked to do as ministers. That's what our call is. That's what we've been commissioned to do. And that's what the Lord expects us to do. You know, He doesn't set something out there for us and say, "Oh no, it's too hard. I can't do it." We try to do that sometimes, don't we? We try to do just like Jonah. Go off to the side. Put it away. But what happens when we do that? It's trouble for us. It always would work better for us if we just paid attention to what God said and did it, instead of being slothful and dragging our feet. But no, that's how we are, because that's Adam's nature in us. "And I will not fear what man shall do to me, because we know that we have the inheritance. We are joint heirs with Christ, to know that when we take our last breath, we will be with Him in His presence, praising and adoring Him. Not worrying about what this king's going to do to me or what this man's going to do to me." Do you think the apostles were worried about it when they were... Do you think John was worried about that when he got his head... not John. You guys, John the Baptist, I believe, got his head beheaded. I wasn't trying to say John, the apostle John, because he later... But John the Baptist. Or the other apostles that were had died a martyr's death. Or any Christian in the first century church, or to this day. They shouldn't fear, because we know that whatever is here is just for temporary. When we will be with Him, we're resting with Him eternally. And there's nothing in this world or anywhere that can pluck us from the hand of God. Amen. And I'm glad that He has given us these things for assurance, because I'm just like everybody else. Sometimes when I get down in the dumps too. I get down. And I need to come and read His Word, to search out these things. Because when you read that, when you just read the last two verses I've read, 5 and 6. That's enough right there. That should be enough to change us from the old, "Man, poor me, I'm having a bad day," and all this, to "The Lord will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Whatever these men try to do to me, I shouldn't fear it. Because I know that the Lord is greater than them. He's greater than any man. We are nothing but dust." I think Isaiah said we are lower than the dunghill. That makes us feel real good, don't it? When we think we're kind of lifted up. No, that's telling us truly what we are. But when the Lord had revealed Himself unto us, He lifted us up.
Amen.
Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. You know, Paul, when he goes around in his different letters, and we see, and it especially comes to mind in the letter to the Galatians, and you know, he tells them, if anyone comes and preaches to another gospel to you, they should be accursed. Because there's only one gospel. There's only one. And that's through the shed blood of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for each one of His people. Yeah. On Him. You know, one of our favorite chapters in the Bible, or books in the Bible, is Ephesians. We love Romans pretty good too. But you get to Ephesians, and you read first, I can't even think right off the top of my head, 7, 8 verses, 9 verses. You read through there, it's what He did for you, not you. It wasn't all, well, it's just God halfway did it. I got to carry the load the rest of the way. No, He did it. He did it all, and He did it perfectly. That's why He was accepted unto God, the Father. Because if any man, other man would have tried to come, it wouldn't have been any good. It would have been just like in the old times, in the old law service time. All sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sin of the people. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And we have, you know, it's a hymn in there and it says, just the same today. And that's just as true because He doesn't change. I'm glad He doesn't change. I'm glad He's not like us. We'll be all right this minute and then the next minute we're over here and then just all over the place. I am so thankful to stand before y'all this morning and to tell you what an awesome God that we serve. How loving He is to His people. How much He provides for us. You know, there's so many things that we should be thankful for. Not, you know, people always seem to pray to, it seems like that we pray to the Lord more when we're in trouble than when we are on the top of the mountain. But we should be just as much or maybe even more when we're on the top of the mountain because He's the one that put us there. He's the one, when we're in that valley, that we dug ourselves a hole and gotten in, He's the one that gets us out. He's the one that lifts us up. I want to read one more here out of 2 Corinthians. This is one of my favorite verses. Right now, I know I have different ones at different times. They seem to hit differently. This one right here, I'm going to leave you with this. Out of 2 Corinthians in the 4th chapter, 17th verse. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May the Lord richly bless y'all.
Amen. Second verse of number 1.
He chose unseen.